This is episode 76 of Ethnically Ambiguous.
Yes, welcome to 2019. This week is very special. We have a guest on for this Monday episode. Her name is Kiti Katan. You might recognize that last name because we had her son, Tamer, on a couple weeks ago. And we were both a guest on their podcast that they host together. They Tried to Bury Us.
Listen to those.
She has a really fascinating life, and it's, she's an incredible woman, so stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
We're in a different setting today, aren't we?
We're in a new world.
We're in a new world. This episode is very special. We have a guest today, and you already met her son, Tamer Katan, but now we have Kiti Katan. Hello, say hello.
Hello, how are you, Shireen? How are you, Anna? It's very good. Nice to have you here.
So you want to talk?
Okay. Sorry. We started? Oh, no. Okay.
No, keep
we're
it
too
in.
Comfortable.
We're going to keep it
we're
in.
We're too comfortable.
Okay,
we're comfortable.
Yeah.
We're comfortable because we are literally sitting in your house.
Okay.
We just ate a dinner that you cooked for us.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so proud of you guys. It's so nice and sweet. Oh. And Tamer's so proud of your work. And I'm happy to have you.
Tamer is the brother I never
here.
Had.
Yeah.
Older brother I never had.
Tamer,
always
yeah.
wanted someone, some Middle Eastern man to be proud of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tamer never have a sister or a brother, so I'm happy to have you guys in his life.
I mean, I'm happy to be that surrogate. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
so
fun.
Right now we're in your home.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say where to protect your privacy.
Yeah.
We can't have these fans coming to
no.
find you.
After this episode, you're going to have a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But you did make us an Egyptian dish called
kusheri.
And it was so good. I posted a photo on the Instagram, our story on Ethnically Ambiguous' Instagram. So if you didn't look at it on Friday, shame on you. I'll post it again, maybe. But it was so good. It was like lentils and red sauce and macaroni and fried onions. Yes.
Oh, that's the top one.
Yeah, that was the
yeah,
that was
the trick
best.
Of the kosher.
Yes. Yeah,
fried
was
onion.
Great.
Yeah. I ate just fried onion at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
so good.
That is a
yeah.
true fact. That is
yeah.
a true
yeah.
fact.
Tamer, he will be jealous now.
Well,
sorry.
He was supposed to be here and do the dishes.
Oh,
but he flaked after he heard that was his only job.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? We got Kiti all to ourselves now.
Yeah.
That was really our goal. Like, he was already on the podcast. You were the guest. It's not you and Tamer. It's just you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we met you when we were on you and Tamer's podcast. They Tried to Bury Us. And we fell in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Anna immediately after that, we were like, she has to be on our show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very sweet of you guys.
It's true.
Yeah, it's nice to hear good thing from young people like you, and to see how you guys doing great job for people, young people, and talk about it. It's a very, very good thing.
Yeah. I mean, meeting you has given me so much inspiration and hope. Just like the fact that you exist, because you're so open minded, you're so loving and supportive of your son. It's just amazing to see. I don't know. I think a lot of immigrant parents are really stuck in their ways, and you are just so adaptable. Like, you run marathons, and you like work every day, and you embrace the difference rather than reject it, and it's nice to see that.
Oh, thank you. It's just, as a kids, you guys, you come, I know both of you guys come from immigrant family. Mm-hmm. You don't ask to be here. Your family bring you over to this country, and they should allow you to have the lifestyle. You're not in Iran or Syria or Egypt mm-hmm. or whatever. So you have to be like everybody else. So if you're different, people, they make fun of you and you don't feel good. It affects your life. And it's very important to blend in. Otherwise, it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. And I think since day one I came, I think because Tamer, he went through a lot when he's young. And I said, no more, no more. I'm not going to allow this. And Tamer, I am lucky because he stands up for his right most of the time. But I want him to have great life. I come here for great country, great life. We sacrifice a lot. I mean, we left everything in home, back home. We came, we don't have anybody, no family, no money. We came America with $700. Mm-hmm. Actually, we allowed to come with $150, but we keep the rest. I have to hide the rest because we don't know, you know. And it's tough. And if you have a problem, you don't have anybody to talk with, or if you're short with money, you don't have anybody to take, or, you know, so you have to learn how to build yourself alone. And over that, you have to allow the kids to introduce them to the life here. Not you're not in Egypt or Syria or Iran anymore. So it's just tough for the kids also. Yeah. Very tough. So immigration, it's not easy. Yeah. It's you go through a lot, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And what led your family to come to America?
Well, I never planned to come to America. Uh-huh. My husband, Chino, he was planning to come to America because he hated Egypt.
Yeah.
Hated. Not because he loved Egypt in a way, his life, but when he started has his own, start work, or actually the thing changed when they take him to army draft, what they call it, draft? Or
Yeah, the draft.
That's, I think, worst time for my husband. He went through hell in the army, and he used to go, he don't want anybody see him with uniform or anything. And you see him, he's completely different personality. And I think I met him before he go to the army. And he was completely different personality, fun. He play music, guitar. He sing, listen all the time to American music. Mm-hmm. And after that, he's just, his personality disappear. I think he was planning to come America because they ask for immigration, if a doctor or nurse or accounting, and he's accounting, so he applied for it. And during this time, I was his girlfriend, and after they take him in the army, he's not supposed to do anything, he's not allowed to go American embassy and all that. Plus, he don't have, he grow up in area, very rich people, whatever they do inside their area. Wow. I came from middle class, so I know all Egypt. So I used to tell him, you know, let me do it for you, because I know if you go, I don't think so he can make it, because you have to stay in a line every time you go. Each step, you have to stay in a line 4 hours, 5 hours, in the sun outside until you hit the building. And Chino, he's not this style. He won his business done right away.
Right.
And this is, doesn't work like
he
that.
He was a little more spoiled.
I guess so. I will say that. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that because his father spoiled him. Yeah. I mean, I remember I heard this story. One day he walked with his father and he see a motorcycle, and he was like 16 years old, and he just says, oh wow, I love this. And by the time he went home, his dad bought the motorcycle.
Oh.
Yes, and he didn't tell him. They sit in a dinner table, and somebody honk down in the street.
Oh my gosh.
And he, yeah, and his father say, go check in balcony, see who's that. And when he went inside the outside in the balcony, he sees the same motorcycle. He was,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, and like some that.
Surprise, yes, but, yeah. Yes. I never grew up this way. Yeah. I never ask for anything because I grew up with my grandmother, and she take care of me and my sister. And my father gave her hard time with money issue. So we learn of young age, we never ask too much.
Yeah.
Because if I ask, I know it's going to be fight. My father say no or give my grandmother hard time. Or if she want to skip the fight, she bought whatever we need from her own money. And I know I put her through tough time. So me and my sister, we learn from early age where we don't ask for anything.
Yeah.
Or if we get one thing, we always share it, so we don't ask for two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think my life different than my husband.
Very different.
Yeah, very different. Like, different. Yeah. Even one day he say, I play music. The mom, they got him very super piano.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I don't have this luxury in my life, especially my mom passed away when I'm 4 months and my sister 2 years. So, of course, my father, he cannot take care of us. So my mom, she's the one she take
she
care of us.
You. What happened to your mom?
She passed away over, I think, mistake. She has pneumonia and they gave her wrong medication.
Wow.
They say she has stomach flu.
Oh.
And she was 22 when she passed away. Super young. And my grandmother, she raised us. She raised us very well. I mean, I give you example how great women. I think if I have anything good in my life, I got it through my grandmother. Because, for example, we have Mother's Day in Egypt on March 21.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was maybe 7 years and my sister 9. And one day, both of us, we cry in a room, me and my sister, because we talk about what happened in a school in Mother's Day. And my grandmother, she checked what's going on. So we told her, and school today, every student say, we got this to my mom, I bought this for my mom. And we sit, we cannot say anything. And she tried to be sweet, but after that, until the day she passed, every year in March 21, she take us, we don't go to school.
Aww.
She let us stay home, but she make it awesome day. Aww. She take us downtown, we eat ice cream, take lunch in downtown. We go someplace, it's called American French place. A special thing, and she has to let us buy one thing for, so she makes the day extremely fun for us. So, she was grandmother, but she was very, very open-minded.
Yeah. She's like an amazing human.
Very, very, yeah. So, I think if I see anything on me good, I feel that's from my grandmother. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How did you and your husband meet? If you guys grew up in such different planes of existence.
We grew in a different area. I don't think so I can meet him because completely different area. I used to have a friend, she used to go with his friend, and I was down after my grandmother passed, and she asked me to go one day with her in this group. Their area, they have groups, they go dance or music and all that, and I went with her just because she tried to lift me up. So I went with a big group together, girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, he has a girlfriend during this time. So when I met him with a girlfriend. He used to be with her for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was just sitting watching because different style. I never go out or they don't allow me even go movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just quiet or something. I don't know. But he talked to me. And somehow I said, I'm not here to date anybody. I'm here just a little bit for good time because I have a problem. And he asked me, what's the problem? So I told him. So he asked me before I leave for my phone number. And I said, but you're not allowed to call me at home because we're not allowed.
Yeah.
It's completely different life than my husband's life. And
also, he had a girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend, yeah. He has a girlfriend,
yeah.
So I said, what he need my phone number for?
Yeah.
But I think I was desperate. I need somebody to listen to me or talk to me or talk about what's going on in my life during, because it was a very tough time for me. I think, let me go back a little bit. When my grandmother passed away, I grew up, my grandmother, she was very open mind. We used to tell her everything. Like she always say, never lie, but tell me truth. So we, my sister, older 2 years, when she started date, she used to tell her. And she used to tell her, okay, date him, but you come in this time. And, you know, so she knows everything. So when she passed away, was everybody against us. Like, we live in a house, my grandma, my grandfather, 2 uncles. And the oldest uncle, the first thing he want to do, to kick us from the home.
What?
Yeah, because he want to get married, so he needs a home for himself. So he said, I don't want to take any responsibility for 2 girls. You should go to your father. That's the start. My life start here after great life she gave my grandmother. She gave love, unconditioned love. And
how old were you when she passed?
I was 16.
Oh, wow.
16 and my sister 18. This is the most important age to be, you know, you needed somebody with you. So when she passed away, my uncle, he said, I'm not responsible for you guys. You have to go to your father's home. We go to my father's home. He said, no, I don't want you here because all my life I live alone. I don't want you to live with me. So we felt what's going on, you know. We never see that before. And we always surrounded with love. And all of a sudden see that it was very hard, very hard. 16 and 18, that's the most sensitive age. So they keep doing that between me and sister maybe for 1 year. We go here, we go back, we stay 1 night over my father. No, I don't want you. I'm upset. I can't live with two. So we say, you know, like that. We go back to my grandmother home, which is we grow up there. And he say, no, I'm not. You're not responsible. I don't want you to stay here.
Is this uncle your dad's brother or your mom's
brother? I don't know anybody from my father's side. I grew he was great uncle. He was great uncle. But the time came like selfish life, you know? This, I want to get married. I want everybody out.
So he claimed that house for himself.
For himself. And I think he is also, my grandfather, he cannot do anything about it. He was hopeless case because... in order to have a phone in the house, he asked his father to change the lease for his name in order to get the phone. So this way, the lease of the apartment under his name. So my grandfather, he cannot give any order anymore, the apartment under his name. So he said, I wish I can help, but I can't open my mouth because if I tell him this is my home, the girl has to stay, he will say, no, it's... the lease under my name.
He tricked him.
And in the all that, we used to have, of course, the key for the house to open in and out. He started to put lock from inside.
What?
So, yeah. So when you come and open the door, it doesn't. So I remember one day I stay outside the apartment for 4 hours until he came.
Oh, my God.
So my youngest uncle, he found out about that. So he get the hammer and he break all the locks. When he did that, his brother, which is the oldest uncle, they start to fight. And that was the final steps for me to stay there.
Yeah.
And I said, two men, they both lawyer. So they start to fight in apartment. We were so scared. So, but before that... my sister, she has a boyfriend and she wanna go movie with him. And I told her, don't go. At time, it's not like my grandmother is still alive. He will go out and walk behind you and see where you're going.
Yeah.
She said, I don't care. I know what I'm doing and all that. So
she's talking about your uncle going and following her.
I follow her to see because she lied. She told him, I'm going to my father. And I told her, I think he's going to follow you. Don't go. And she said, no, I'm going. So she went. So he see her, she's going movie with a young man. So he went straight to my father to tell him, your daughter, she's supposed to come over here, but she lies, she's in a movie right now. So anyway, my father, he wait for her until she's supposed to go to my father's this day. He wait for her and my uncle wait too. So when she open the door, she found my uncle and my dad. So she figure out they know. So my father, he told her, were you, I was going someplace. Can you tell me the truth? So she say, no, I wasn't in a movie. And my uncle, he say, no, I was in a movie with so-and-so. And she say, no, I was someplace else to aunt house. So my father, he say, okay, let's go right now to see. So they take her at night, like 8:30 at night to my the other aunt. She's a friend, but we used to call her aunt. And they went, and when she opened the door, they say, is Denise? She was there, her name Denise. And she say, no. But when she see my sister behind there, she figure something. She say, yes. So they say, no, you lie. So they left, and whole way from her house to my grandmother's house, they beating my sister in the street. God. In the street.
Yeah.
And when she came, I was shaking. I said, what happened? So she told me. And I said, oh, my God. She say, I cannot stay here anymore because people in the street, they think maybe they find me in some man's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't beat a young woman in the street, like slap her, and both of them, both of them, whole way in our street. Boom, boom, boom. And I said, oh, my God. She said, I'm not going to stay here. I said, oh, no, don't do that. Because where are you going to go? She said, it's not your business. So she moved, stayed with a friend for maybe a week. And after that, with a friend of the family, man, he say, you know, I think he fell in love with her. So he figured this is best time to take her. And she went with him. He was older, but, you know, so he rent the place for her and he say, I will marry you and all that. And she believe him. But I think he never do finish. I mean, he never deliver his promise. So he say, she say, I can't take it anymore. I have to get out of this life. I can't. So she went, she left. And I tried to return her back. And I asked my father, please, let her come back. Because he keep saying, where she go? You know, where is she go? And I keep saying, no, no, I don't know. But too much pressure. I said, okay, I know where she is. But please let me bring her over. And my father, he say, in one condition. And I said, what's your condition? Because my uncle, he say, absolutely no more for you to be here. And what's the condition? And my father, I hate to say that, but I said it in Tamer show. He says, the condition, both of you, I have to take you to the doctor to check if you both virgin or not virgin.
Wow.
And my sister, she say, over my dead body, anybody can touch me.
Yeah.
And I said, I was shocked. My father says that. Why? We are good people. Yeah. How you do that? He say, if she, both, you don't sleep, if you sleep one night out the house, I cannot take you in.
Wow.
So that's, I think, the disaster. So I was going through hard hard time during this time. But before my sister, my father asked that, I was going through hard time. We go back how I met, you know. So my friend, she asked me, come over one time with me. We meet, I meet my boyfriend and all that. So when I met, you know, I was desperate. I need to tell somebody. You know, about my life. And he was listening to me. His girlfriend, she was in was big group. And that's why he take my phone number. I give it to him because I never thought he will be my boyfriend. Or, and I wasn't going search for boyfriend. And after that, he called me. And he said, I love to meet you. And I said, oh, okay, I want to go. You know, I have good times there. And he came without his girlfriend. But he say, my girlfriend, we always fight, but, you know, I felt I need to talk to you. And I really was desperate. I need somebody listen to me or some good shoulder. Because during this time, I was like itching, you know, because it took 2 years to 2 or 3 days, you know, shove us from here to here to here. Yeah. It was miserable.
Yeah.
And even when I got school without books because some books in my father's home, some books in my grandmother's home, and the love ended. The love ended completely. And it was tough. So anyway, I talked about it now like a dream. I can't believe it. We go through that. Yeah. So during this time, I was seeing Chino, but not boyfriend or just a good man.
Yeah.
He listened to me and he was nice. And he's right away connect me. He say, please call my mom.
Oh.
So his mom, like a very sweet lady, he say she will help if you need anything. So me and my sister, we used to call her.
Mm.
And she was very sweet. She say, you guys come over. If you need any help, I'm here for you guys. Very sweet lady. So I start to see him, but I don't feel like I'm a girlfriend. I know he has a girlfriend, but he keeps saying, no, it's over because my mom, she don't like her. We fight a lot. So I don't care. Yeah. I need to see somebody with good heart, you know.
Yeah.
And from here, I start tell Chino about my problem. And start my sister during this time when my father, he say, I can even tell Chino what my father say. Never. You know, so during this time, my sister, she say, enough is enough. I cannot live this life. I need to do something. So, and when my father, he say, you need both of you to go. And she say, over my dead body.
Hmm.
So she was stressed out. I said, let's go for doctor to check what's wrong with you. Because she always cry. And we went together. And the doctor, he say, I think you're very depressed. You need to go to hospital or something for 1 week. You need to rest. And she say, no, absolutely, I'm not going any place. Because in Egypt, if you go to psychology or hospital.
Yeah, it's like you're crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She say, no way.
We do have to take a quick commercial break. I want to get back into this.
Before
I forget, don't apologize. It's so good.
I know,
I don't want to interrupt
I'm
you.
I'm deep into your life right
sad,
now.
But I don't want to get too distracted. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. This is the best. Hey, we're back. Okay, we're back. So you were talking about your sister refusing to go to a hospital because if you go to a hospital, it means you're crazy in the Middle East.
So do you think this was all because of just all the family drama, right? Is this caused her so much stress in life?
All about no place to live.
Well, I don't know what I would
for
do.
For lousy apartment.
Yeah.
Lousy apartment. Yeah. I mean, after I moved here and I go back and he invite me and I look and I say, I can't believe it. What happened to us because this place, because here my life completely different and I have a house here and everything. Yeah. And I say, I'm shocked. And
did you and your sister grow up really close? If you
very
you
close,
only had each other,
very close, very close, and especially after my grandmother passed, she was very, very close to me. Anyway, because we don't have anybody who support each other, so anyway, after that, she rent like motel and she stays 3 days there. And she told me where she was. And I said, why you stay in a hotel? She said, I need to end my time with this guy because he's not going to do any promise, he told me. I cannot live like that. So in this hotel, she killed herself.
Oh.
And she killed it in terrible, terrible way. She burned herself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. it's sad. I mean, it's been over 50 years, over 50 years, but it's hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And even some people, they say, my uncle, young uncle visit me here and I talk about it. And he say, you talk about something, it's 50 or 70, 40 years ago. I said, it still hurt. It's my sister.
Yeah.
So anyway, during my sister burn herself, they take her to emergency, but if you go as accident, they take you to government hospital. So I went right away because I found out right away, and I went, and was more than disaster because the government hospital, they put you in a room with 13, 14 people, bed next bed, next bed. And I said, it can be. My sister, she can be here. And I see at night, I stay with her day and night. First night, I see the nurses, they steal the medication, throw it to somebody from the window so they can sell it. Yeah. I see one lady, I think she passed, and they throw her and something like play toys. And I said, it can be. My sister, she can stay here. I don't have anybody to connect because nobody called me after my sister did that because I think they felt guilty. Yeah. They felt so guilty. Yeah. So they don't want to reach anything. They stay away. And I don't have anybody. So except my aunt, my mom's sister, she sent me money. But it was not enough. What to do with money? It's just I put tips for nurse to clean sheet or something. I said, no, she's not going to stay here. So I think the first day I feel I'm too strong. I called the neighbor. He was a doctor in this hospital. And I plead to him to move my sister to private school, a private room.
Yeah.
And he did.
Oh.
And when this happened, I felt so good and I felt I'm strong.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Nobody was me. I did it. And I was like 18.
Yeah.
18, 19. Maybe 19. So anyway, I stay with her 14 days in a hospital. And during this time, Tino, he was me all the time.
Wow.
Before, because he wasn't an army. But his mom, she was such a nice lady. She used to send me every day one maid with a clean clothes to change because I sleep in a hospital.
Yeah.
And I said, my own family, they don't want me. And this guy, I just met him and his mom. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's okay. I cried on your podcast. You can cry on ours.
You're making me cry, too.
His mom, she take care of me very well. So, anyway, after my sister passed away, she called me. She say, well, during this time, we don't have a cell phone or any phone. She sent me. I called. They have phone in their home. I called and I let them know my sister passed away. And in order my sister passed away, you know, Middle East, they have to bury right away in 24 hours, not like here, seven days. So I don't know. I want to do it in my family grave with my mom.
Yeah.
And we don't have key. We don't have anybody in my family to do anything.
Yeah.
And nobody come.
So they felt guilty?
I think so. Nobody come. So I called another friend. I asked him if he can help me. Because I'm young. I don't know anything about how you repair funeral or that. And a husband, you have to do it right away in 24 hours. So this guy, he said, don't worry about it. I ask my family to do it in our grave.
Wow.
So they did it. Not in my family side because I can't. So they did it. So that's the second one. I feel I'm strong. Mm-hmm. I did it. I want my sister to go decent, and I did it. So after that, Chino mom, she called me and she said, I want you to come in our home and stay with us. I said, I can. I don't have, his boyfriend. He's not boyfriend or anything.
Where were you living at that time?
Huh?
Where were you living before, like at that time?
I was go to my aunt's house and I hated because she's not in Egypt. I have to take train to go to her home. I hated. So, but I stayed the 14 days in hospital. But when she passed away, my mother-in-law, Chino mom, she say, I want you to come to my house. And I said, okay. I went home to my grandmother's house and was everybody sitting in a family room like that. My two uncle, my grandfather. And I take just a little clothes with me. And I said, I'm leaving. And if any man here strong enough to ask me where you're going, tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody and I'm not coming back here.
Yeah.
Nobody get up. Nobody say, oh, please stay. Nobody say, where are you going? Nothing. I said, I don't think so. I can't see any man here.
Yeah.
because I think they felt so guilty. But I have the, I was strong enough to face them. I said, I'm not going to stay here anymore.
Yeah.
And I left. I left. I went to Chino House. And he wasn't my boyfriend yet. Yeah. He was good friend. And his mom, she said, stay here, please. I don't have a gear. You like my daughter and all that. And I felt so good in their home. Mm-hmm. They treat me so well. But I felt this is not my place.
Yeah.
Not my place. So I stay one night. I said, I have to leave. And I left. I stay with my aunt, but I hid.
So where was the aunt? She was not
in Egypt? She live in an area called Zakazik. It's like countryside. You have to take the train for 1 hour. And I hate it. I live in Cairo.
Yeah.
And I know all the area.
You're a city girl.
A city girl, yeah. So anyway, when my sister passed away, I think Chino, before my sister passed away, he was very close to me. And he asked me to be his girlfriend. I said, no, you try to be nice to me because my situation. He said, you're absolutely crazy. I love you. I love you. No. I'm going through a hard time. And you know everything now about me. I don't want you to be just, you love me because my situation. No. But I think the way they treat me, I fall in love with him. I fall in love with his mom. I felt he was very nice. He used to open my purse. I don't have money, just enough. He always bought money for me. Mm. Always. And I said, don't do that because I feel so bad. My father never asked if you need money, where you go, where nothing. Nothing like that. So you feel like no place, and I don't want to do like my sister did. You know, I'm not this kind, you know, I have to face it. So, and I don't feel comfortable in my aunt house. So my mother-in-law, she says, stay. I said, no, because I look bad to me, you know. So during this time, I'm in and out from this, and I never lived in my father's home after my sister passed away. So Chino, he asked me to marry him. And I said, absolutely not. I don't think so. You love me. He said, don't be crazy. I love you. And his mother, she told him something. I think now you my son-in-law, and she's my daughter. I was very sweet of her. And I accepted. But I always tell Chino, I think you marry me because you feel sorry for me. And he always tell me, no, you're crazy. So that's why I always, for Chino, until last day in his life, I did my best.
Yeah.
Because he's the only man. He stand up by me.
Yeah. Yeah. You were strong, though.
I know he loved Tamer, but he don't know how to show his love.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because Tamer, he was all my life. Because after my sister, I don't have anybody. All this family, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So when I have Tamer, I felt the world.
Yeah.
The world. I mean, Tamer, I know he knows I love him so much, but that's all I have in my life.
Yeah.
But all this stuff make me a strong woman. You need a break.
Do you need a break? Are you okay?
No, I'm okay. So it make me strong woman. I can face anything, you know. Alone, I'm good. It's tough. But the only thing important in my life, I never fight with Tino with anything except for Tamer. Because they don't know how to show his love. The Middle East people, they think if you tell him stupid, you know,
you're making him tough.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because if you tell me I'm stupid, I doubt myself. I be weak.
Yeah.
And I always fight back for Tamer. Don't tell him you're stupid. He's smart. He's good. And I know my son, he's so smart. But you don't go tell anybody. You don't do that. You're smart. You're not go finish this. This is too you stupid. I mean, sometimes the word affects you a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so I been through that. So I make sure Tamer life is number one.
Yeah.
Tamer, he don't know what I said today, maybe in his podcast, I talk about it.
Yeah.
And he was surprised, you know. So it's just, but my life with Tino is great because I never pay him back. Yeah. I always tell him, if you're not in my life, I don't know what happened to me. And he said, don't say that and all that. But I stand up by him until last day in his life because, I'm sorry, my voice.
I apologize.
So they did good for me. Mm-hmm. They stand, I mean, can you believe it? If he's not around, I don't know what happened.
I mean, I could just, in your house, there's pictures of you guys when you were younger, and you guys look so happy together.
Yeah, it was very, very nice. I don't have
any. Laughing and smiling, and it's just, it's so beautiful to see.
Very nice guy, very polite. Never say any bad word to me or whatever I do. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Kichi. Thank you. Always. Thank you. You tired. Relax. The only thing, he's tough on Tamer and I hate it. Hated. Because...
Well, it's we were talking about this a little bit before when we were eating dinner, but I think Middle Eastern men have a really hard time with emotions, and you were saying that he didn't want Tamer to be sad when he passed away. So instead of that, he didn't want to get close with him or show him any kind of affection, which is a very sad thing.
Very sad.
It's because he loves him so much, he doesn't want him to be upset when he goes.
Yeah.
But that's the most twisted idea of affection, and it's sad that he couldn't express it in a different way that didn't involve like being that hardened.
Yeah. And if this was your experience in life, it doesn't have to do with Tamer. You make it bitter because he missed his dad a lot because his dad spoiled him a lot. You don't have to spoil Tamer, but be in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you don't repeat your life with Tamer, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, it was tough for me. And especially when we came to America, I say if we have second baby, if it's girl, I go back to Egypt. I said, absolutely not, over my dead body. Why? He said, I can't raise girl here. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know,
that's crazy. No. But I understand the mentality of Middle East people, how hard for the kids. I mean, like I told you, I have a friend all over, mix everything. I went wedding last May with Tamer in Seattle for lesbian gear. And I put the picture, very nice, loving, very loving wedding. And I put the picture on Facebook. I got a call from Egyptian woman. She say, did you went to a wedding for lesbian? I said, yeah, what's wrong with that? Are you crazy? I'm going to pray for you and pray for them.
What?
Yeah, I said, please don't pray for anybody. You don't need your prayer.
Yeah. Oh,
please, don't waste your time. They have enough people to love them.
Yeah.
And I really love them very much.
Yeah.
And I think she told another Egyptian woman the second day I got another phone. She said, what you did yesterday was very not nice. You're very aggressive. Uh-huh. I said, me, I'm the aggressive woman? I mean,
Middle Eastern women love to freaking gossip.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the most fun for them to talk about girl is their kids.
Yeah.
Their kids. And I never share anything with any Egyptian about Tamer, either good or bad. It's nobody's business.
Yeah. Well, my mom and dad taught me not to say anything about myself because of the evil eye.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Because I'm still very bad at talking about myself. I'm very bad at promoting myself. And that's because of the evil eye.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm afraid of it.
Yeah. Well, I was always taught just do your work, keep your head down.
Yeah.
Nobody's business
People
is yours.
Talk about your
business
work.
Is nobody's.
I have Tamer, he bought home in Silver Lake. That's a while ago, maybe 6-7 years. I don't know how many years ago. And before he finished everything, he called a friend of his father to check the house for him. And the wife, she came. When she walk in and see the house, it was an old house, but unique house. He loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was shaking her her what this chin? Her, she ain't shaking. When she's mad, her chin's shaking because I know her so well. Mm-hmm. So her father, he say, what's wrong? You don't talk. You don't, nothing to say. Mm. Okay, we finished and we came home. She gave me a call right away. Did you give them her money for the house? I said, no, absolutely not. Plus, it's not her business anyway.
Yeah.
I said, no, absolutely not. Why? She said, I'm wondering why Tamer, he got this house. It was too expensive. I said, yeah, because she read the flyer, you know, how much and all that.
Yeah.
I said, excuse me, Tamer been working in advertising for 20 years. So just let it be.
Yeah.
But the jealousy between kids and compare this and this, unbelievable.
It's so toxic.
Between between the Middle East people. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think I cut my relationship after that because they tried to find some mistake for Tamer. And I said, enough is enough. I don't need that.
Yeah.
So even her husband, he say, Christmas, you come, but not Tamer. I said, over my dead body. You want me to come to your home without Tamer? Absolutely not.
Why are people so rude?
Very rude.
They're so competitive. It's like so cultural.
And that's, my son number one in my life.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my life with that, you know. And, you know, I understand the Tamer feeling, but it's tough. It's tough. And I feel sorry for the immigrant also. When they come over here, they want to do everything like home. Mm-hmm. You can't. You can't. Different life, different system, different everything.
Yeah.
You can't. You can repeat your life. If you want to repeat it, stay home.
Yeah.
Don't move. Don't come to America.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's very hard on the kids.
Yeah.
Very hard. You know, like I told you, I don't want to say it. My cousin, her daughter, the shirt too open. So what? Too open.
Yeah.
I mean, people walk in the street with bikini. Mm-hmm. Nobody pay attention.
Yeah.
More you cover, more people, they want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, in Egypt, we used to wear mini jeep. Nobody bother us. Now they cover all over because religion and all that. People, they touch a lot because they try no more sex, no more, you know, life change now.
Yeah.
Because this, I think religion, it's a good, any religion, it's a great. Because, you know, you guys, we mix religion here, if you know. But I raised Tamer, you love everybody. Religion, everybody, everybody love God, they are good people.
Yeah.
No good here and bad here. We're all great. Because my husband Muslim, and I'm so proud to say he's a Muslim man and he's great, you know. So it's not Muslim or Christian or Jewish, you know. We're all good. You have to be good and say who, you know, not big deal. God, everybody, they have good God and teach you good thing, peace and love and, you know. But when they start say, oh, what's your religion? It's not your damn business.
Yeah.
You know, it's leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm a good person and that's it. Stay out. So it's just, and I always tell Tamer, we mix religion here, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and be proud of all three religion.
Yeah.
Because if you start take side, it's not right.
Yeah.
You love God, I love God, but you know, everybody different way of thinking. But I think maybe my life make me feel that way. I don't know.
I agree. I think your life experiences have made you a very amazing person, I think.
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
It comes across very clearly.
Thank you. It's just, you know, when you, it's the best time in your life, 18, 16, and 20, and to see how bad time. I never enjoy it. I never finish school because where I go, I go to school. Where?
Yeah.
What is my book? Some over my father.
Yeah.
When I leave, he has to, you have to leave. I can't stand it. So I leave without book or anything.
Yeah.
I go my grandfather house. My uncle, he say, I'm not responsible for gear here.
Yeah.
It's just the issue, you know, like you're not responsible.
Weak
man. Yeah. It's just, you can't. I talk too much, I know. But
you don't talk too much. It's amazing.
But I love it. I love to talk to you guys. You're so awesome.
Your life is so fascinating. Thank you. That's the reason we wanted you on the podcast. But you're so refreshing and progressive and... honestly, like, you're just badass.
Yeah, I love that. And I have big ass, too.
Okay, on that note, let's take a quick commercial break. All right. We are back.
We're back.
With Kiti. Oh, or how? So do you go by Maggie or Kiti?
No, I love Kiti.
Kiti is adorable. I like it.
Yeah, because, you know.
Come closer to the mic a little bit.
You know, when I born October 15, mm-hmm. But all my babe, 1947, okay? Yeah. Count in your finger and your toes. not enough. So anyway, I born in 15 and my mom, she wanna call me Kiti. And let's show you Middle East people. My father, he say, no, Magda. And she say, no, Kiti. They keep fighting over my name.
Yeah.
So finally, on October 26th, he has to go and report me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he say, I born in 15, he has to pay fine.
Oh,
and
no.
I can see he was very cheap. He don't want to do that. So he say, I born in 26, and he called me Magda. Because that's Egyptian name.
Uh-huh.
So when my mom passed away, my grandmother, she said, forget Magda. It has to be Kiti. So everybody called me Kiti. But when I got school, all my paperwork, Magda.
Yeah.
So that's it. But Tamer, everybody called me Kiti. But my paperwork, like at work or any place, any paperwork or passport, Magda. But of course,
Magda,
I prefer Kiti.
It was an Egyptian name.
Egyptian name.
My
mom, she used to...
What was your mom's name?
Georgette.
Wow.
And she used to go, the second language back home. She learned to speak French.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And she was very good with... she got to learn about etiquette and protocol mm-hmm. and sewing clothes and all this stuff. So she was very... very, I think I never met her, of course, or never knew her, but I heard the story about her a lot. Mm-hmm. She was very, very good, and she was close to her mom too, and that's why my grandmother, she has hard time to accept her. She passed away,
mm-hmm.
but she, you know, if you look back, I have tough life. But I have also great life with my grandmother.
Yeah.
She was great mother.
Linings.
Oh my God. Lining. She was very modern with her mind.
That's how I think about you. Like I think like you're, I think the way you talk about her, and the way you give her credit for being the way you are, I think it's so telling of... you were raised by a strong woman, so you are a strong woman.
And yeah, and she was honest, very honest.
Even you're talking so openly and honestly, and usually that's not a thing that Middle Eastern women do, let alone at all, to by themselves. I think you're just so incredibly inspiring, and I think that's why we wanted you to talk to us on the podcast, because your life is so crazy, but... you've only become a better person for it.
Yeah, of course. But the most important, when you make any decision, you need to be strong about it.
Yeah.
Because when I married Chino, people, you know, say, oh, don't say he's a Muslim. Yes, I'm proud to say he's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not cover up. If I cover up, that's like I have my aunt, for example. I show you how the mentality drive you crazy. My aunt, she has her daughter, same age like me. She get engaged to one guy. So she came visit me in Chino house, front of his mom. And she say, Chino, his name, Muhammad Mahmoud Tawfiq Al-Attan. Mm-hmm. Tawfiq go Christian and Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My cousin's name is Tawfiq.
Tawfiq. So my aunt, she came and she say, I have your cousin, Susie. Fiance downstairs. I want him to come over to meet you, and please don't say Chino name Muhammad. Say Tawfiq front his mom, and
what?
She wanna. Can you believe it? And I said, absolutely not. Why are you coming visit me? Because she was proud of Chino life or house and lifestyle.
She wanted to show him off, but not really him.
But not his not Muslim. I said, please, don't do that. Don't bring him over. You need to leave now.
Wow.
Front my mother-in-law.
Wow.
Because I have to respect the people who stand up by me and to want me to not my husband, not Muslim. He is a Muslim and he's a great man.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
And I said, nobody allowed to come over here. And you know his name, Muhammad, not Tawfiq.
Yeah.
And she left right away. She's crying. And my mother-in-law, she said, Magda, please go tell her sorry. I said, absolutely not. That's my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed people to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that you did that.
Right? Of course. You can't judge me because I'm Christian or Muslim. And you want me to tell my husband your name Tawfiq today because... Absolutely not.
No,
like you spit in his face and I say, okay, thank you.
Yeah, welcome to my beautiful home.
I know.
Let me pretend to be someone else.
That shows you the attitude.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely crazy about religion. But I was lucky because Chino house, it was very open people also. Mm-hmm. No religion. They love everyone. I mean, look at the way they helped me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So they never had any issue that you weren't Muslim?
No, ever, you know. So, and I went here when my husband, he was in a hospital. I sleep with him every day. I never leave him alone. Mm-hmm. Even he say, if you hold my hand, everything will be okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can, how you leave somebody like that? You leave him alone.
Yeah.
Our friend, which is I call friend no longer anyway, they say, why you stay with him? Go sleep in your bed, relax, and come tomorrow. How dare you tell me what to do with my husband?
Yeah.
And you know why they say that?
Why?
Because in case one of them, her husband in the hospital,
they don't want you to also set the precedent of like staying night.
Magda or Kichi, she stayed with her husband.
All night. I guess I have to.
Yeah.
So, which is so crazy.
It's crazy.
So petty.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
They compare their lives
so much.
It doesn't matter.
Unbelievable. And even my husband, he heard one time, he said, what they say? I said, they don't want me to sleep here. He said, I can't believe it. We are in a situation. People do that.
Yeah.
It shocked me.
Yeah. This is like a very critical, sad moment for you in your life. And they're still comparing each other.
Because they don't want me to look good in case they have a situation and they're not going to do the same thing. So they don't want me to do.
So absurd.
When
you got married to... How did he get his nickname? How did Chino come about?
Chino nickname since he was young.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Believe it or not, we have Jewish neighbor. Her name, Victoria, she used to call him Chino.
Oh.
And the name go Chino,
that's
you
cute.
Know.
I like that nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to ask, when you guys got married, did anyone of your family
No one. We went, we married in the office, you know, when foreign people, they married, not in a church, not in a
like
mosque or anything.
It's like a
courtroom, but in a building, you know.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, you want to laugh? The day I married Chino, we have fight in the morning, and I said, I'm not going. I'm not going to marry.
What was the fight about? Do you remember?
Yes, of course. That's we have to witness. We have to bring two witnesses. He brings the two witnesses from his friend. One of them, I don't like him. I don't know why. I don't like him.
Uh-huh.
So why you bring him to be witness in my wedding?
Yeah.
I said, can you change him? He said, no, too late. It's his year and I can't tell him no. And I said, okay, I'm not going. And I walk a little bit and he walked behind me and say, Magda, don't be crazy. Let's go. So I went and I didn't say anything until the guy finished, you know. And he say, Mabruk, like, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't say anything. And finally, when we left the office, he say, okay, can you say Mabruk? And I said, congratulations. I said, I think so. So, and ended this way. So we went to home. His mother, she has like a cake and, you know, for us. And she has wedding for me in her home week later. We did the paperwork December 4. And December 11, where she has like a tiny celebration in her home, and she bought me a wedding dress and veil and everything. She want me to be like everybody else, and I don't want anything.
Yeah.
But she say, I insist, she got me everything.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 21 because I have to legal different religion. You have to be legal age, you know.
So what religion was your family?
My family was Christian, Christian, and Chino, Muslim and Jewish.
I see.
Yeah.
So were you raised religious?
Not really, you know, not really. I never.
But why would your aunt still care that like he was a Muslim? I think it's so, I know, because even though she's not religious.
You know what? Because her daughter, she was married to somebody Christian, and she want to bring him over to show off a little bit, but she don't want to say any religion, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, you know? Yeah. So, and I even with Tino, we never have issue about religion, you know, who's Muslim, who's Christian, never.
Like raising Tim, and it wasn't ever a question.
Not the issue, because, you know, I don't want to be too religion, maybe he go other side, or it's just... We all, I mean, he grew up
that's
very...
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's, I feel like I grew up with such a strict religion that I ended up hating it. And
you
ended up just discarding anything about God. Even though I love the Muslim faith, all my family is Muslim and I respect it a lot, I rejected it completely because it was forced on
me. Yeah.
And it's, I think forcing a child to do anything. And I have a lot of uncles on my dad's side. My dad's side is a lot more closed-minded. They'll force their daughters to cover, like, when they're little girls.
It's sad, isn't it?
It's abuse. I'm so against it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about it.
It make you feel weak.
Yeah.
Weak. I'm shame. Let me cover this because I'm shame.
Like, I'm grateful that my dad is the most liberal one out of
his
family.
I'm so happy. Yeah.
But still, he was very strict in some ways. Yeah. But I can't complain because he made me who I am. But still, it's when I see his brothers and his sisters forcing their beliefs on a child that truly does not know any better. Like I hate it. I hate when I see that. But whether it's Muslim, whether it's Christian or Jewish or whatever, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Forcing a child to do what you do,
it's
not right.
Well, that's what, you know, my mom is devout Muslim, but she never pushed it on us. And now my brother converted to Islam because he found it himself.
He came around to it.
Because now they're Muslim together. And they do things together.
And now they, you know, they fast
together.
It's very peaceful. Yeah.
Very peaceful.
If you're seeking it out yourself, you will appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think any religion, no religion has hate or anything, all religion peaceful and nice and unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Why we go, oh no, you this and you this, leave me alone. We're all great, you know? So
I feel like being raised Muslim has made me a good person. Like it's a peaceful, loving religion.
A
lot of immigrants hold on to religion because they think it's part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely separate. You know, I could still be a good person and not believe in God. So, I don't know.
Yeah. But like I said, a lady, she called me, went to lesbian wedding. It was loving wedding. It nothing to do lesbian or straight or anything. Yeah. They are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Why I hate?
Yeah.
I don't have to hate them.
Yeah. They're not doing anything to our lives.
Yes. Yeah. And they are great, really. Really, Shireen is so nice. Mm-hmm. I love them like my own kids. And she always called Tamer my brother.
Aww.
So how you judge people like that, you know? I cannot get it when people judge other people.
Yeah.
It's so sad. So, I don't know. A lot of stuff.
How did Tina wear you down eventually and you got married? Because you kept saying no. How did you end up saying yes?
For marriage?
Yeah.
Or it's just, I think I felt the love in his home. They have lots of love in the home. His mom, she treated me so well.
Yeah.
She even asked me to call her mama.
Oh.
Her name is Stella. She's a Greek woman, Stella. And she said, Maggie, call me Stella, mama. And I said, I call her mama? I never called anybody.
Yeah.
Grandmother, I used to call her mama, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I felt it. It's coming natural.
Mm-hmm.
She's so sweet, and she take care of me so well. with love, not the...
So you said yes to the marriage because of his mom.
And him too.
Yeah,
and him.
I'm kidding.
But
I'm kidding.
I felt his mom.
Yeah.
It was number one in his in my life. And she was great. She was great to me. I felt that they opened their home for me.
Yeah.
Even his brother, I mean, they was good people.
It sounds
very
like they
good
were
people.
Amazing.
Very good people. So I said, okay, but I always tell Tino, I think you don't love me, you feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
For a long time, I used to tell him that.
Did you believe that in your heart?
In my heart, I felt he's a good man and he tried to save me somehow in my heart. That's why I said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, he feels sorry for me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it all the time. But he say, you're crazy. I'm not going to do anything like this unless I love you.
Yeah.
But with the time, he show he loved me and I felt also good. And I don't have place. I don't have any place else to go. It's tough, you know. And my sister ended her life very bad. And I said, okay, now I don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Nowhere. No father, nothing, you know. I make peace with my father later on in life. After Tamer born, maybe after he was 7 months.
Yeah.
Just by accident, every time I go get Chino salary because he's in army, they give me hard time because my IG ripped and also the IG, the name, different religion.
Mm-hmm.
So they give me hard time. And I said, okay, maybe I go make new IG. When I walk, I said, let me go see my father. He sit on every day. We have in Egypt something called Ahwa.
Yeah, like coffee, like a coffee,
coffee place. Yeah. You sit and drink tea, and my father always there. I said, let me go this way. Maybe I want to see him because like 6 years I didn't see him. So I went and I see him. He's sitting weird. So I cross the street so he can see me. But he was looking, you know, blind people, they look up too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this guy, he looked like he lost his eyesight. So I went. I walk front him and he didn't see me. So I went to home and I told my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, she said, call him now. Call him in case he need help. See how nice people. So I called the Ahwa and I said, can I speak to Mr. Khairi, which is my father? And he came and he said, who's this? I said, this is Kichi. So he answered right away. He said, I don't have anybody named Kichi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was silent. He was silent after that. I said, okay. I just call you in case you need any help, call this number. And he said, okay, can you meet me tomorrow, 9 o'clock, right away?
Wow.
So I said, okay. So I called my youngest uncle. He gave me support a little bit, but not much. But anyway, I told him, I'm going to meet my father tomorrow. But by 5 o'clock, if I don't come back, come get me because maybe they kill me or do something.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, he say, okay. So I went to see him and he was, of course, blind because diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he cried too much because he felt guilty about my sister, which is I don't give a damn, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have any feeling. It's so sad.
Yeah.
all I have, just my grandmother. I don't have memory with my father at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said, I just want to let you know, if I did anything wrong against you and your sister, God punish me. And if you guys did, God punish you. I said, oh, fine, I agree. Okay, you want to talk? He said, yeah. So he took me, he said, in my home. I was so scared. But I said, the guy, he blind. He's not going to hold the knife or something. I can control the situation. I'm worried about my son. I left my son 4 months. Mm. So, and I told my uncle, 5 o'clock, if I'm not here, come get me. So I went with him and he's right away. I don't know, just God planned it for me. He's right away. He said, take your mama jewelry, take this money. And I said, I'm not here for any money.
Yeah.
I'm not here for all that. But he begged me to listen to him, to take everything. And I said, okay, not today. Maybe we'll talk about it. So I met him for 1 week every day, every day.
Yeah.
You know, in Egypt, you don't have money, cash, all your money cash in a bank. He wasn't so rich, but he has money in a bank. So he changed everything in my name, because if he passed away, all my cousin, he share almost half, because he don't have a boy. So yeah. Back home, the women have the man. Have the man. Ridiculous. And they can't take the money. And he say, I don't want this happen. So I felt like he has little bit love for me, because he want to give me the money. And I keep saying, no, no, no. And he cry. He say, please take it. I said, okay. But he switch everything in a bank. But he say, promise, if I need anything, you come immediately, because everything under your name now. I said, I will, and all that. And 7 days or eight, maybe 9 days, I'm not sure. I have to meet him to go some bank to change something else. I knock a door, he don't answer. So he always has a key in his brother's house. I open the door, he was just trying to put his socks in his feet, and he fall in his face, and boom, he ended. But after I say maybe max nine days, I used to go every day to do this business, which is this money helped me for my ticket to America, because I felt enough for Chino to do a lot. He did a lot for me. This money will be my ticket for Tamer and me to come America, because Chino, he was going to take loan for our ticket. He don't want his mom to help him.
Yeah.
So I said, no, we have money to do that. It's time for me to return something from their kind to me, you know. So this money helped me with the ticket, and I bring some with me. Not a lot. I mean, like $700 plus ticket, not a lot. But during this time was a lot for me. So that's ended the life with my father, and was short time, just short time. And that's it, you know.
So just, he died when he fell?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because after seeing you, he left. And it's kind of the same thing that happened with Tamer's father. He waited until he saw Tamer, and then he went.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard, don't know, some people, they hold on until they see the loved one.
Yeah.
But I don't think so he has any love for me. But maybe because he was alone or something.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got some closure, though.
It's just, it doesn't make any difference for me.
Yeah. Well, it's hard after all that. Yeah. It's hard to have anything for someone that never truly showed you the love you deserve.
Right.
But Tamer never met him.
No.
Yeah.
He told me, when we finish the business, I want to see Tamer. I said, yeah. But he say, bring him first. I want to see him and all that. But he cannot see anyway during this time. So it's just, but ended good for me, and it make me strong woman. And I was strong because during this time, I take all the cash money in a house, put it in my purse, take a taxi, because everybody coming in my father family. And special, my cousins, they open the door, sees, because always my father tells them, where is the money in case I passed away?
Mm.
I have my funeral.
That's their priority.
Yeah. So I take it right away.
Yeah.
And I put it in a purse, and I said, you never know what kind of people around me. I take a taxi, and I told the guy, it's an emergency. Take me all the way to my husband. And I left the money with my mother-in-law, and I returned back. And everybody asked, oh, we heard he has too much money. How much you found it? I don't answer.
Yeah.
Because they trick you, you know.
Yeah.
But the life make you, I mean, whatever I did, I went through, it make me grow up so fast with the way I think, you know. And I take after that everything in my life simple. I didn't get upset right away or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's just I am lucky.
I feel lucky to know you.
Thank you. It's so awesome.
You're so inspiring. Just to hear you. I mean, I didn't know about your sister. I didn't know about what your dad told you. I think
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is the toughest thing in my life. I think this is the toughest thing. You know, sometimes I see, oh, my dad did this. You guys, you don't see anything. I mean, my sister, she was 19 or 20. No, 19 years. They slap her on the street, back and forth. My uncle and my father keep slapping. And she say, people from balcony and, you know.
They all talk. It's all talk. Yeah.
They think maybe they catch me in some man house. Are you kidding? All that because I went to movie?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's the harm?
Yeah.
Nothing. Movie. You do all that because it's movie?
Yeah.
Well, okay, she lied because you don't allow her to be honest.
But so, I think the way you describe her and the way she told your dad, like, over my dead body, no one's going to touch me kind of thing.
Oh,
I think but I hear that in your voice, too. Like, you're also strong like her.
Yeah, yeah. And, she write for me letter before she did to herself. I just throw it away maybe last year.
Wow.
Yeah, really? Because I said, in case something happened to me, it's in Arabic. Tamer, he don't know how to read it. And I don't know if somebody come search, help Tamer with any. I don't want anybody read it. But she told me how pressure, you know, you keep yourself. I mean, even if you do something, you start to have sex with somebody, it has to be somebody you loved.
Yeah.
And to tell me to go doctor to check me, that's unbelievable. I don't allow that. And she gave me advice, don't you ever let anybody to touch your dignity.
Yeah.
Dignity. And I think I lived with that. I lived with that. So my, I'm very, you know, I'm sweet and sour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sweet and kind. But if you step on me and you touch me, I get crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been through a lot. It make me, okay, I love you so much, but don't do anything to hurt me.
Yeah.
Because I catch you back.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's why I always say I'm sweet and sour.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you so many more questions.
I talk too much,
Shireen. No, you don't. You talk just enough.
Yeah.
I just want to hear you talk forever.
Yeah. I want a young, women to be strong. And even if the immigrant from any Middle East, just remember, be yourself, love yourself, be strong. Life, it's go so fast, so enjoy it. And let the parents take it easy on the kids. They don't ask to be here. You bring them here, allow them to live the life here.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair. Oh, you raise me, I'm Egyptian, I'm not going dressed like low cut because it's aib, it's not right, it's not polite. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Look at the people. They walk with bikini in the street. Nobody look at. Because that's normal. So why I will be one beast? Because that's not decent. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just they think everyone's going to talk about you and be like, oh, well, they're not a good father. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, to my dad.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, my uncle, my dad's brothers will see a picture of me or something and they'll call my dad and tell him he did an awful job.
That's not fair.
No, it's not.
And I'm sure your father, he did a good job with you because he allowed you. And end of the day...
That's a different story. He still gets mad at me for certain things.
But it's okay. But at least give him break. At least he's not like his brother.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah,
he's
not gonna be 100%. Remember, they grow up different. They don't even talk about sex, you guys.
Oh, no. No sex? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They don't tell you anything.
Yeah. You know, it's the Middle East. I'm sorry to say that. It's all lousy in sex.
It's so lousy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry because everything. And they don't know sex. Why I have Tamer? It's a pressure. Your kids are coming from sex.
Yeah.
And sex is something love. Most Middle East, they think that it's duty.
It's not duty. That's what I heard all my whole life is that it's a duty.
It's not duty. You have to love me and kiss me and hug me and step by step. It's not like, okay, hurry up. Or sometimes I see in an Arabic movie, I'm so sorry. He take his clothes off. Follow me. Excuse me. Over my dead body.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they show it, even in a movie, is so unbelievable.
So damaging. And it's
damaged.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And you have to learn for yourself if you're an immigrant child, if you're a child of immigrants here, especially here, because they talk about sex so differently here. Like, yes. They'll have movies about losing your virginity and like whatever, and then it's you and you're terrified of sex and you have no idea what that means. And
well, they don't even teach you about safe sex. They teach you nothing. Yeah. They don't teach you how to protect yourself. Yeah. They don't teach you what to do next. They don't teach you anything.
They just teach you to don't do it, so or else you're going to go to hell. Yeah.
Which is the worst thing, because if you have no knowledge, you put yourself at danger even more.
And you can't even read.
Yeah.
Back home, you can't read anything about sex. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And they show some stuff about sex in Arabic or whatever. Horrible. I mean, better shut up and don't show stuff like that. I mean, it's. I feel bad. I feel bad for young Middle East people. And the mom also, like, they can't talk about it, or, oh, something, this is shame, or we're not allowed, we wait until you get older, or don't let anybody touch you. Because, you know, okay, if you love somebody, I don't know, maybe some people think I'm crazy, but sex, it's okay. It's loving, something love. It's emotion. It's emotion. Mm-hmm. It's love, connection. It's a great moment.
I've never heard that sentence come from anyone moment. Like you.
Yeah. I've never heard an accent say that. Yeah, I was thinking in my head. They do not say anything like that.
I've never heard like a family member that talks like you say anything like that.
No, yeah, I don't think my mom has because ever this spoken is to true me about life. Sex. Yeah.
Where do you come from? Your mom, she throw up and get you out from her mouth
or something. But it's described as her duty as a wife. It's never something that she is happy about. It's never like, it just, I don't know if I told this on, I said this on the, on your podcast, but my mom told me like that every man has a sword. And everyone wants to stick a sword in you. Can so you it's like, it? It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make you terrified of yourself. I was disgusted with my body. I never wanted anyone to touch me.
Touch you? Yeah.
And it gave me a lot of body problems. I still am recovering through that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
you will be scared.
There's two differences. Like in the Middle East, no one talks about it. Here, they talk about it maybe a little bit too much. There's like no middle ground.
No middle. Yeah.
So I hope as the time goes on, people...
Oh, you will be okay, I remember.
No, I'm okay. I wish more people were like you.
I hope so. I hope so for young people, the one coming new in the country. Because I see the guests I have, they've been here just 8 years. Mm-hmm. So still in their blood, the way they grow. But it's not fair for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they go college, they see other people... So they feel weird.
Yeah.
Let it be. Let it be. So it's just, or they want to move, live in a camp. And, no, you're not allowed to live outside the house. You know, like, she's going to be hooker tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Yeah.
It's just, it's too much. I cannot take it. I don't know. I like to fight for my right. I'm a fighter. But also, life is great.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it, because I don't like to be... negative. I like to be positive all the time, you know. Like somebody the other day said, I'm worried, I have a stroke, my mom and dad die from a stroke, I'm going to do insurance for my kids as life insurance. I said, you know what, my husband passed away from cancer, I got cancer, but I never think about it. I'm not worried about that. More you think about, more you get it. Let it be, enjoy it, think about something good, not scare everything. They scare from everything, everything. So I think, if you think about it, I'm not, I don't have lots of Middle East friend. I used to, but not anymore, because I found it's just stressful. When you go out with American, not like that. Completely different. Completely different. I mean, they don't talk much about the kids and gossip. They gossip in a different way. You know, clothes maybe, what you get, or what your husband... it's something fun. The gossip completely different.
Yeah.
And they don't compare life also. They don't compare much. Maybe, but not much like Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is human, but I don't know. It's just completely different. But hey, we're lucky to live in America. Mm-hmm. We're lucky to fight for our right, mm-hmm. because this is something awesome. You know, more you fight, more you get to be strong. And it's something great, you know.
You're definitely a fighter. I think
I am. I am watching.
Rami never should get on your bad side. I don't want you to beat me up. So you have a podcast with Tamer. It's called They Tried to Bury Us. Uh-huh. I encourage everyone listening to this to go listen to their podcast. Anna and I were both on it. Mm-hmm. And it's hosted by Tamer and Kiti, and they interview immigrants or children of immigrants, and they talk about their stories. And it's really a beautiful podcast, and I'm happy that it exists, and I'm happy that you exist, and I'm happy mm-hmm. I exist when you exist.
And I'm so proud of both of you. You're so sweet. I'm happy to know you. I have a pleasure to know both of you.
I cried multiple times during this podcast.
But you guys are so strong, happy that you and exist. I feel the sisterhood between you guys, and I love that. And it doesn't matter. See, let's show you. You Iranian, you from Syria. I'm Egyptian. Three different nationalities. We sit here, mm-hmm. but we connect so mm-hmm. well. So mm-hmm. well. Yeah. I loved you from first day. No. And that shows you the connection.
Yeah.
It's not country. It's not religion. It's nothing. Plus Eric too. Eric?
Zach.
Zach, I love him too. So, by the way, I love gay and lesbian and straight and homeless and everybody. You know, your heart get bigger. More you love, more you feel great.
I can't emphasize like how happy I am that you exist and how happy I am that we met you, because you are so special.
You too. You guys are so special. I cried enough today. I feel weak.
I'm so happy for our fans to listen to you. I'm so happy for the world to get to know you a little more, because everyone needs you in their life. You're a role model.
You're a true role model.
I'm too old. You guys need to be strong.
Please never leave. Never leave. Love is great.
And I'm so proud of you. You're doing a great job. Tamer, so proud of you guys. So I'm so happy. He has two sisters now. More than two, because he has another sister named Nastasha. She drives him crazy. So I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. Thank you. Great work.
You keep it up too. You're probably one of the strongest people I've ever met. Your story is more than anything that I could even, it's truly an amazing story. And you, the work or the things you went through to get to where you are today, it's unbelievable. Like the strength that you brought with you, and now your son is this strong, wonderful man. It's just beautiful.
It's very beautiful to witness.
And to even be in your beautiful home, to be like where you came from, where you didn't have a home and you had these weak, poor men who are telling you you can't stay here. Now look, you live a block from the beach. Yeah. Look at them. Where are they? You know, like you've come so far, and it's such an inspiring story. I'm gonna start crying too. I'll just start crying right now.
You guys, we came to this country with $700. Yeah. That's all.
It's just proof that immigrants are the strongest
immigrants
people.
Immigrants, they work so hard.
The strongest people we know are immigrants. It's just a shame that. It's so sad.
We work so hard. And I mean, when we came to America, we don't have a dining room. I said, okay, I bought empty box. And I put in it nice tablecloths, and we sit in the carpet and we eat. And I have a friend, she gave me 3 plates so we can eat. And I sit like that maybe for 1 year until we got dining room. Mm-hmm. And I said, we're not going to go buy. Some people say, you go take a loan and buy whole apartment. No, I take piece by piece. If I got refreshed there, finish the payment, I got something else. Finish payment here, I got something else. And I was patient. I never care who has this or this. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy for what I have. So it's just, are you okay, Shireen? I love you, Shireen. You guys so awesome. Hey, I want you to be strong and not weak. I know you guys so weak, but
what?
Oh my god, so weak. So strong. Okay. I'm foreigner. I'm sorry. Zarongo.
It reminds me of my mom because she would talk about like the first apartments they had. They didn't have anything. They had like a mattress and whatever, but they were so happy to be here.
Yes.
They were just so grateful to be here. And they didn't care. They didn't care they had to work 16-hour days and then whatever. They were just happy to be here. She would, my mom, they had one car. She would drive my dad to work. She would drive us to school. Like, it was immigrants are so strong, and you're just the perfect example of that. And so I just thank you for existing and being yourself.
I hope lots of new people in America listen to this and feel the dream always growing, you know. More you dream, more you get good things.
Even people in immigrant countries, if they hear this, it's possible to come here and have a life. It's possible to move, evolve. Like we always talk about, it's possible to evolve from, you might be in a poor situation, but it'll change. Life is always changing. Yeah. You'll meet new people. Yeah. You will move on
positive,
in your life.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Stay positive.
It's strong. Yeah. I mean, more strong, more you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you be tough. You, whatever you meet in your life, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Yeah. And I think you face everything if you're strong. You don't need help from anybody. Just within, you can be strong.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anybody with me to make me strong except Chino and his mom. Now I have Tamer, which is Tamer. He has a great heart. He's crazy
amazing.
Like me, but he has a very, very good heart. He has to call me every night to check on me, which is very. I'm grateful for that, you know. But also, I don't like to ask too much because I don't want him to feel like it's responsibility. I don't like that. I want him to be free.
He loves you so much. You can just tell by the way he talks about you.
But also you need to let him free. Not all the time, oh, I need you, I want him here, I miss you. No, I don't like this stuff. Like I told you, I got the Christmas tree. He was upset. Why you don't wait for me?
Yeah.
I don't want him to feel like when you, every time you come home, do this. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I can do it.
You're very independent.
Yeah, I can do it. Even if I have way, but it's still good. Stand up in four cup of coffee, but it still look great, you know? So less responsibility, you grow more love.
Yeah.
So life is great. Yeah. We should thank God for everything. We're lucky to live in America, and America is gonna change very soon. We're gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
I think you're hoping. Right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I hope with people like you, they give me hope. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I hope never. Gonna be okay.
This
gonna
has
be
been
okay.
One of my favorite episodes. Aww. Maybe because we had dinner before, yummy Egyptian dinner. Maybe because we're sitting in this beautiful house. But thank you so much for being here.
Aww. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Where can you they find us?
You guys, after you leave, I'm gonna cry. You're so awesome.
We're gonna get our car and cry.
Just cry the whole way there.
You can. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. You can find us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb. I never remember anything. On Instagram, ethnicallyambig. Go to our website, ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. Please listen to Kiti and Tamer's podcast, They Tried to Bury Us, which is, you know, on iTunes, wherever you, everywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah.
And you can follow me at Anna Hosnier. And
you can follow me at Shirohero on Instagram, Shero Hero. And then on Twitter, I'm Shirohero666. But yeah, I love this woman, and I know you love her too. So if you want to hear her every week on a podcast, listen to They Tried to Bury Us. We cannot recommend it enough. And, yeah.
I love you both.
I love you so much. Bye.
Bye.